Good evening, anglers. Welcome to Hooked on Fly Fishing. I'm Colin Shepherd, and it's Friday, the 1st of June. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Tackle Newmarket. They have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Now, the staff at Rod and Reel will help you choose that gear and then show you how to use it. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Now, on tonight's show, we have some fly fishing news. Met Service has provided us with accurate weather forecasts. We check out some river flows and levels with Waikato Regional Council, Bay of Plenty Regional Council and Genesis Energy. Our freshwater reporters check in, and we will, as always, finish with the fly fishing tip of the week. Some fly fishing news. The moon phases. The next new moon is on the 14th of this month. A new moon occurs when the apparent longitudes of the moon and sun differ by 0 degrees. At this time, the moon does not appear to be illuminated. What does it mean? Well, a couple of days either side of the new moon will offer the best fishing for freshwater anglers. Start planning your trip away now, 14th of June. Remember the saying, new moon, fisherman's favourite, full moon, fisherman's folly. The latest edition of Real Life is out. Real Life is published by Fish and Game New Zealand, and it is sent to your inbox, and it is free. How good's that? All you do to get your copy, just go to the website fishandgame.org.nz, search for Real Life, R-E-E-L Life, click on there, and they'll send it to you every month. It's very good. The next meeting of the Auckland Freshwater Anglers Club is on Monday night, the 11th of this month. They meet at the Panmure Yacht and Boating Club, Kings Road Panmure, at 7:30pm. It is free to attend and all are welcome. Have a look at their website, aucklandfreshwateranglers.org.nz. The 2018 Kai Iwi Lakes Trout Fishing Competition will be held next month on the 7th and 8th of July. This is a very popular event with heaps of prizes. We've talked about it for years. Very, very successful. To enter, you need to contact the Northland Fish and Game Council. All their details, phone numbers, email, etc., are on the Fish and Game website, fishandgame.org.nz, and search for Northland Region. It's a very good event. We'll be talking more about that in the next couple of weeks. If you have any news about upcoming fly fishing events, fishing reports, or any comment about fly fishing in general, you can contact the Hooked on Fly Fishing radio show by emailing me, Colin, on col.pam@xtra.co.nz. That is col.pam@xtra.co.nz. Okay, let's look at some weather. Met Service weather, the Auckland Marine Forecast for those wishing to go saltwater fly fishing. Warning. Gale warning in force for the Hauraki Gulf and the area from Bream Head to Cape Colville. Strong wind advisory in force for the Manukau and Waitemata harbours. The situation. A ridge over the country drifts further eastwards today. A low approaching from the Tasman Sea brings a strong northeast flow to the North Island over the weekend. The low is expected to approach northern New Zealand late Sunday and becoming slow-moving on Monday. The forecast for the Manukau and Waitemata harbours. Saturday. Northeast 20 knots rising to 25 knots, gusting 35 knots in the morning and to 30 knots, gusting 40 knots in the evening. Seas becoming rough in the evening. Cloudy periods with fair visibility in occasional rain from afternoon. Manukau and Waitemata Harbour forecast for Sunday. Northeast easing to 20 knots everywhere in the evening. Periods of rain, possibly heavy. Be very careful out on the harbours. Okay, if you're fishing and the regions, particularly upper river somewhere, for instance in the Waikato region, your forecast for tomorrow, Cloud gradually increasing and patchy light rain developing in the evening, easterlies picking up. The Waikato region on Sunday, periods of rain easing in the evening. Easterlies strong in exposed places until evening. For those anglers in the Rotorua region, your forecast for Saturday, cloud gradually increasing and a few showers at night, easterlies strengthening in the evening. Rotorua on Sunday, rain developing in the morning with heavy falls and possible thunderstorms, strong northeasterlies easing in the evening. Taupo region, good evening anglers down there, your forecast for Saturday, cloud gradually increasing, patchy light rain developing at night, easterlies. Sunday in the Taupo region, periods of rain with heavy falls from afternoon, easterlies strengthening in the morning, easing at night. Now if you're up and over the hill into Taumanui, Saturday forecast, fine at first but cloud increasing from afternoon. Patchy light rain developing at night, easterlies. Taumanui on Sunday, periods of rain easing in the evening, easterlies strong in exposed places until evening. For our South Island anglers fishing in the Canterbury Plains region, Saturday forecast, mostly cloudy with a few showers, clearing overnight. Light winds. Canterbury Plains on Sunday, mostly cloudy, scattered rain developing north of Rangiora from afternoon, north-easterly breezes. Okay, a wet weekend by the looks of it. Thanks to Met Service for those reports, we do appreciate that. Let's look at some river levels. The Puniu River is 23 kilometres south of Tauramatu, is currently at 9.4 metres. It's flowing at 19 cubic metres per second, too fast to fish. The Mangatutu River, the next one over, is at 1.5 of a metre. It's flowing at 5.1 cubics. It's dropping, starting to clear. The Ohanamuru River, measured at Karangaheke Gorge between Pairoa and Waihi, is at 12 metres and falling. It's flowing at 9.1 cubic metres per second. That's well down on last week. The Tauranga Taupo River at the southern end of Lake Taupo is at 0.36 of a metre. That's also well down on last week. The Waipa River, measured at Otiwa, is at 75.9 metres and falling. It's flowing at 15.6 cubic metres per second. Dirty, too fast to fish. The Nongataha River in Rotorua is at 0.9 of a metre and dropping. The Whakapapa River is at 3.3 cubic metres per second. It's in good condition. It's down from a high of 39 cubics this week. The Whanganui River, measured at Puriaka, is at 25 cubic metres per second, down from a high of 146 cubics. The Tongariro River at Durangi is at 27 cubic metres per second. That's down from a high of 97. Now, as you've seen in the forecast, it's been a clear week, but rain is coming this weekend. These rivers will rise quickly. Enjoy the fishing, but be very careful when wading. Thanks to Waikato Regional Council, Bay of Plenty Regional Council and Genesis Energy for the information. Excellent websites, updated continuously. Thank you for that. Okay, we'll have a very quick break and then the first of our fishing reports. You're listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Bert Robinson is a long-time Rotorua resident and an even longer time Rotorua angler. And I can tell you he's an expert angler, especially when he gets in the rivers and lakes of the Rotorua region. Bert, as always, is live on air with us now. Good evening, Bert.
Good evening, Colin.
Hey, Will.
Yeah, I've been better.
Been better?
But I'm hanging in there.
Okay.
Slowed up my fishing a little bit, but I snuck out today and, yeah, felt better for it. So it's definitely therapeutic.
Okay, so fishing is good for the soul, the mind and the body.
Exactly.
Very good. I like to hear that. Thank you. Okay, now since we spoke last week, tell us about the weather conditions. What's happened down there, lakes, rivers, etc.?
Well, we've had had the southerlies come through, of course, and that dropped the temperatures big time. We've had a couple of really decent frosts. This morning wasn't quite as severe as the morning before, but, yeah, we were down to, I think, minus one the day before, zero this morning, so doesn't look like there's going to be any rain. In fact, frost, it looks like it's going to rain, actually. We've got nor-westerlies coming in, and we had quite a big build-up of cloud, which has now covered the whole of the sky. With the moon being quite full, that cloud is going to be fantastic, because what the anglers have been finding in the past week is that when the moon is on the water, the fish aren't biting too well. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the moon went down behind the hills, late-ish in the evening, the fish were there. You could see them rolling over and doing all sorts of things in various places around Rotorua. And lakes. As soon as that light was gone, it was all on, and there were some amazing fish being caught. There's been reports from Okatoina of people being busted off on 15 and 20 pound traces. They were getting sick of being busted off on 10, so they went up, kept going up and up and up. At the moment, they're on 20. But a lot of it is to do with the type of rig you've got, which most of the bust-offs like that are from either boobies or heave and leave patterns. Okay. And the fish are travelling at quite a speed, racing up and down the beach like mad things, and they pick it up on the way. And, of course, you've a moment of inattention or the fact that your fingers are so stiff from the freezing conditions that you can't react in time, and the fish are gone with your fly, and it's all over.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's one of the things that is happening. Plenty of fish coming in, but as I say, with the moon, it's made life quite difficult, particularly if there's been no wind. And then we did have one or two nights where there was a lack of wind. We had a lot of wind during the day. But there's certainly been some great fish coming in. Ruatoa has been patchy, but early in the morning has been really great. Okatoina's been quite good later in the evening, but also just on dark. So there's plenty of opportunities around. With a nor'wester, it's likely to be an offshore wind there. Depending on how strong it is, it may sneak around the corner and come back up the lake again. Ruatoa will be quite good with a nor'wester, as long as it's not too strong. But in saying that, you can always go to a sinking line, and it's not pushed around by the wind quite so much, and you get better contact with your fly. And of course, then you've got your streams, the Nongataha, the Utahia, Waitati are both fishing very, very well.
Okay.
Quite a number of blackfish in them, been there a while.
Okay.
But there are some really great conditioned rainbows, and quite big stuff too, being caught there now. Yeah, our channel's gone off a little bit. There was a good run of smelt through May, April, but it seems to have eased off a bit now. But I still did see some fish surging around like mad things today. But I'm not sure whether they were actually spawning fish like jacks chasing each other, or whether they were actively chasing smelt.
Okay, very good. Now, I saw on Bay of Plenty Regional Council website this afternoon, I looked at the Nongataha. It's down to 0.9 of a metre. It's dropping. And a friend of mine rang me last night about 10 o'clock after he got back fishing the Nongataha. It's in very good condition and there's fish around.
Oh, certainly plenty of fish around. That major flood that we had has flattened a lot of the flaxes along the edges, so there's places here now where you can do the check nymphing if you want, or certainly gives you better access to the edges where the big browns are lurking.
Okay.
And of course, May, June, July is one of the peak two peak times for browns to come up that river, and there's some pretty monstrous fish in there at the moment. And they're moving up and down, in and out, they're going up the Whited Sea, they're going up the Utahina, they're going up Numataha, and also going down the channel. There was a nice brown around about the 8-pound mark caught in the channel last night, apparently.
Oh, that's a good fish, yes.
Mm.
That's through Marama Resort there.
Yeah, it's now called Ramada.
Oh.
It's had a bit of a checkered history since it was changed over from a camping ground.
Yes.
But now it's called Ramada, and of course, the new regulation that is likely to be come into place, and I don't think it's been gazetted yet, but from the when you go into the resort area, you've got 20 metres along the lakefront of reserve, and 20 metres of reserve from the water's edge out, where you can walk down to the boat ramp.
Yes.
Now, from the boat ramp down, and that will include the delta, that is now going to, well, is going to be open to fishing if they get it gazetted, so spin fishing.
To spin fishing.
To spin fishing, yeah.
Okay, but haven't people had trouble getting Maori land?
Well, it is there, but there is on the other side, about as you're coming down that long road, I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but heading down to the actual weir, about halfway down on the right-hand side, there's a big open paddock area there, and there is actually public access there.
Ah, you're coming from the other side, I get you.
No, from the weir side. Yeah, you're coming from the weir side.
Yeah, okay.
But I believe that there is one there somewhere too. I've never checked up on it, but I believe there's one on the opposite side as well. But you've also got around the bridge. Above the bridge, on the true right bank, because there's a big reserve in there anyway. I've seen some big browns off when I've been looking down off that bridge. A couple of times I've stopped and had a look, and there's some very good browns in there. And of course, just up inside the delta, there's an area of water there on the true left bank that's quite deep and often holds fish too. So I haven't been up there to check for the last few years, but certainly there was a regular place for them to hold.
Okay, cool. Now, I was in at Rod and Reel in Newmarket on the way to the station here tonight, and there was a young chap in there. He's actually from Hong Kong, I believe. Marcus Church, the manager of Rod and Reel, had taken him to the Nongataha.
Mm-hmm.
He'd never been fly fishing, freshwater fishing, anywhere in the world before.
Yep.
He's mad keen on his salt tuna and stuff like that. Well, did he have a fantastic time?
Yep.
He went on Monday. He went back by himself on Wednesday. He said, this is the greatest thing he's seen.
Oh, absolutely.
And he hooked fish. He landed fish. He lost some fish.
Mm-hmm.
He had a fantastic... He's hooked on fly fishing now.
Well, that's the way to go. It's I was out this afternoon trying to just get out of the house and stop myself going crazy. I went down to Kerry Falls, and there was a young Swiss couple there who I just happened to take my rod out of the car and had a few flicks with it to see how my body could handle it. And turned out that he was an avid fisherman, and I sent him up to the jetty where I'd got I had seen some fish up there as well today, some very good fish. And he got busted off on a couple, and then he fished down below the control gates, but ended up not doing any good down there. But he could not believe the size of the fish, and I went over to the jetty and cast out and picked up a 3.1 kilo rainbow jack, and while I was playing it, another one came up with it and was following it around, which was quite interesting, and the water was clear enough to be able to see it easily, and they were just blown away by the size of the fish we have here. And when I landed another one a bit later on, he said that small fish would have been one of the best fish of a fishing day in Switzerland by a long way. And it was about a kilo.
we're
spoiled, absolutely spoiled.
We are so lucky. I think some people don't appreciate this.
No, I agree.
They take it for granted that there's big fish in the world. There's not. People have to come here to catch them. We're very lucky. And in your particular area, you've got, is it 13 lakes?
13 lakes and 5 rivers just within the caldera, well, close to the caldera. But if you take into a chunk of the Waikato too, you've like the Pokai Whenua is only 45 minutes away.
Nice.
The the Waiumu, Raparapu, Kakahu, all those are all within 40 minutes drive.
That's amazing.
You know, then you've got the Rangitaiki, Whirinaki, yes. They're only about 40, 45 minutes drive away as well. And you've got, right in town, you've got the Utahina, which holds huge numbers of good fish, Nongataha, Waitati, and then there's a number of smaller streams entering that where you can fish the mouths. You know, we just and so many lakes, just unbelievably fantastic fishing. And that was the whole reason I moved over here, basically. After not being able to get a job in my mid-40s in Hamilton, I got jobs over here, and so I made the break and came, and best move I ever made, to be honest.
Well, that's right. You've never been home since.
Yeah, my home is actually Tolmarenui, and apparently the river down there is absolutely fantastic, Whanganui, and it is there's quite a few fish in it, more around the Tolmarenui end than up further, but again, up near the confluence with the Whakapapa'iti and the Whanganui, there's been some good fish taken out there as well. So, you know, it's a couple of hours' drive from here, so it's a bit of a hike from Auckland, but there's a great camping ground in Tolmarenui, and you can walk out the door of your chalet and...
That's right.
About 25 metres, you're at the river's edge, and you can catch some horrendous-sized fish in there, including salmon on occasion.
Okay, I've fished exactly where you're talking about, that holiday camp. I've caught fish right there, literally 20 metres to walk to that. I haven't caught salmon in there, but I've fished a lot of the Whanganui up the Whakapapa.
Yep.
It's a very, very good fishery.
Well, if you head up over the hospital hill and head out that way there, towards Ahura and Tokorima and places like that, there's a place called Herlihy's Bluff, and it's a Papa cliff face that the road's cut into.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good road. There's no problems with getting there. But if you can find a way down and fish your way through there, it's an absolutely magnificent single bed. And that is where the majority of salmon are caught on occasion when they arrive. But also they found one quite a few years ago, a 19-pound spent jack salmon washed up on the intakes of the Puriaka power station.
Oh, Puriaka. I know that area well.
Mm-hmm. So that area, the bit of water that comes is diverted around from the intake to the power station. There's about a couple of kilometres of water up in there that is truly fantastic water. It's all pocket water virtually with some occasional deep hole and some runs and riffles, but most of it is pocket water.
Okay.
And just dropping a nymph into some of those little pockets, man, you get like torpedoes.
Yes.
Not big fish usually, but you get the occasional big brown in there as well. So there's plenty of opportunities, you know, and new water too, of course. And there you've got the Whanganui, Whakapapa'iti, of course. You've got the Ongarui, you've got the Waimiha, you've got the Taringamutu, the Pangapanga streams.
Mm-hmm.
The latter two, I think, close at the end of this month. But there's absolutely fantastic fishing all the way from Tolmarenui Township right up, you know, from the confluence of the Ongarui, actually, mm-hmm. which is in Tolmarenui. And you can fish all the way up, right out through to Mananui, and it's easy walking.
Yeah, no, very, very good. Sounds like you better get back there, but...
Yeah, well, I've been thinking about it, but, you know, with the fishing here at the moment, it's just fantastic. You know, we're getting 4.5 kilo fish out. Majority seem to be about between 3 and 4, which is about, the average is about 3.6, 3.8, somewhere around about there for rainbows. You know, and they're fantastic fish. They're deep fish, they're bright orange flesh, just absolutely fantastic. When the fishing goes off a bit here, it's probably the best time to go to outlying places like that.
Yeah, no, good point. Now, looking at your forecast, you've got rain Sunday, Monday, even into Tuesday. Going to be a bit damp. It's been clear now, but rain's coming.
Well, the fish are definitely moving in. There would have been 15 to 20 fish off the jetty at Akeri Falls today. There was a few up above the control gates on the true right bank. There were a few down below the control gates as well, but this bit of rain will bring a lot more in, because June is the month. You know, everything's sort of sporadic up till June, and then all of a sudden June hits us, and that's when the majority of the fish come back to spawn.
Mm-hmm.
But even, you know, Fish and Game are trying to extend the season, the spawning season, by selective breeding from fish in trap, and they've had some amazing fish through that trap this year. fish that they saw in October that they thought were going to be pathetic at this time of the year, found food source somewhere, and man, they are just bulked up to anything, and huge, you know, places like the Orchard.
Oh, yeah.
Fishing particularly well. There's a few coming off the landing, quite a few coming out of the Tiwara stream out, but there's plenty of other places you can fish as well.
Okay. A friend of mine lives at Rangiroo Bay, saw a man the other day weighed out with a little camp stool, had his waders and all that on,
yep,
and plumped his camp stool down in the sandy, yeah, weighted out like knee deep or something, plunked his, sat down his waders in his camp stool and cast away.
Yep. Yeah, well, a drop-off in that area is very, very close. And, in fact, when you get to Rangiroo Bay itself, go down to the third jetty to the left, and that is the one that has the deepest water closest in, and it's easy casting distance for anybody.
Yeah.
And you can just drop a line out in there. You can drop a heave and leave, or you can even run a, at night, you can run a Lumo fly and do very, very well in close, because they're all in there. It's Liberation Point, Stony Point, and they just come back into that area just and just cruise right up along Stony Point.
Mm-hmm.
The other place, of course, is Boathead Bay. And not many people know that is, again, another Liberation Point, and that the parking's great there. You're right by the car, and you can heave and leave or fish straight off the jetty there by the boat ramp.
Okay, I haven't been there myself, but yes, I have to try that. Thank you, Bert. Now, we do appreciate that. Your contact details, please.
1-0-2-7-2-8-9-6-0-7-9. Just give us a call or text or whatever, and I'll fill in the details of what's happening.
Well, there's the offer, anglers. Bert Robinson, Rotorua Fishing, 0-2-7-2-8-9-6-0-7-9. Thank you, Bert. Enjoy the weekend. Look after yourself. Talk to you next Friday.
Yep, I should be here somewhere.
Thank you,
no
Bert.
No problem. See ya.
See ya. Bye. Mr. Bert Robinson, 0-2-7-2-8-9-6-0-7-9. All you do is you ring a text and say, which way is the wind blowing? Is the river clear? What fly do I use? That's what he does, Rotorua. Thank you. Okay, quick break, more fishing stuff.
When I was 17, it was a very good year. It was a very good year for small town girls and soft summer nights. We'd hide from the lights on the village green. When I was 17, it was a very good year. It was a very good year for city girls who live up the stairs.
Center Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Martin Langlands is based in the South Island, at Darfield actually, and Martin has many years' experience as a fisherman, a fly tyer, a casting instructor, a fishing guide, a blogger, a Facebooker, a photographer and a writer. And Martin's aim when he's fishing with a client is to be innovative, informative, friendly and professional, and that's exactly why we talk to him on a regular basis. Martin is live on air with us now. Good evening, Martin.
Yeah, hello, Colin. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Sorry, I've missed a few of those evenings in the past Fridays, but well, I'm back here today.
You've been busy. That's good. Not a problem. Now, 1st of June, some lakes reopen on the 1st of June. Is that correct?
They certainly do. You know, look, you know, in Canterbury, we don't have a an immense amount of winter opportunities. We certainly have some. So this would, you know, as of today, quite a lot, few lakes open, the high country lakes, for a winter season, which really opens things up nicely. So we have just a few. Lake Coleridge opens, Lake Pearson, Lake Linden, Lake Taylor. And Lake South are probably the major lakes in this particular area. Always remember that further south in the central South Island, Lake Tekapo, Ohau, Waitaki, Aviemore, Benmore, they're all open. So, yeah, we have some opening just in the sort of the North Canterbury region today. And, you know, that's really quite, it throws a few options open for people. We don't have, you know, the lush fisheries that the North Island has, etc. But, you know, some nice stream mouth flowing into Lake Coleridge, which can be quite good, especially for after dark, luminous lures and things like that. And as time ticks on, as you move more into late July, August, we get some snow melt. You know, we have quite a good number of fish, rainbows and browns, that'll go up those rivers to spawn. So the stream mouth fishing can be particularly good.
Okay, well, there you go. Plenty of water around, as always. And you don't have a lot of angling pressure, do you?
Not a lot of angling pressure. That's a lot of it for us is just about getting out and getting banging away. I often find it's quite good when I go up to Lake Coleridge. You know, definitely quite enjoy up there. It's beautiful, vast country if you pick the right day and nice weather. And, you know, invariably I run into people I know and you'll sit there banging away with your streamers or whatever and you can have a bit of a chat to people as you go. Nice sort of social fishery. Just good to get out and about.
It is, yeah. Mm. I've just been talking to Bert Robinson and Rotorua. And he's had trouble with his back, so he thought, bugger it, I'm going fishing. He hooked a big fish, something clicked in his back, and he feels much better.
Yeah, miracle. That's a miracle worker.
Good stuff.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. Now, winter for a guide is a tricky time.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you don't do anything. You're busy designing flies, tying flies.
You sure am.
About
yeah, no, look, busier than ever, really. It's you know, I just feel really privileged and amazed. You know, I've been fly tying for a long time. You know, I first started commercially fly tying in the mid-80s. And, yeah, look, I do a lot of commercial tying. I do quite a lot of tying for the North Island, obviously. A lot of smaller luminous streamers for, you know, the Rotorua area for... Yeah. Taupo and for the South Island. So, yeah, look, a lot of fly tying, a lot of really exciting new materials out there.
Yes. I'm a bit suspicious of some of them. I think they're designed to catch the eye of the
fisherman.
Well, it's
a mixture, isn't it, really? I mean, I often, it's an interesting one. This is my game. I know what catches fish.
Yes.
And I know what doesn't catch fish.
Yes.
And it's important to know the both. But look, yeah, it is an interesting one, isn't it? You know, being a commercial fly tyer, I have to say this, and I think it's a really interesting subject. Some of my best patterns don't sell. They never will sell because they don't look very much, but they catch all the trout. So, you know, look, it's a fine line. I see, as I was thinking about this today, and I see a real parallel between music and trout flies, in that, you know, you can be an alternative musician and nobody's going to ever really care. You know, so, you know, the new materials, there's a little bit of pop culture in it.
Okay.
But, look, having said that, I'm quite enamoured with... Yeah, look, I stand 1 foot traditional, 1 foot modern, and look what I'm finding, I can tell you quite categorically, some of the UV resins, which is a modern thing, fantastic, you know.
Yes.
Some of the luminous components, luminous eyes, 3D eyes, fish masks for the heads. There really are some great products out there that really do make the difference. They just enable you to make a more realistic fly that'll hang together better. So there are some good ones.
I like a lot of saltwater fly fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the flies we use there are the most god-awful bloody things you've seen, but they seem to annoy the hell out of kingfish and they come and whack them.
Yeah, they do, don't they? No, that's probably, you know, interesting talking in terms of winter fishing. Probably my best seller has been a veiled glow bug that I do. It's a really fluorescent orange glow bug, which is very standard. But what I'm doing is I'm incorporating a red tungsten bead at the head. I'm incorporating a real sort of UV sort of pearl dubbing within it. And then what I'm doing is veiling it with this really translucent yarn. And that works really well. You can fish it as a as a glow bug, as a nymph behind a heavy nymph. Or what I've been doing a lot, because we don't have the river fishing you guys do, what I do is I fish it under an indicator in the lakes and the stream mouths, and it works really well. So that's been really quite good. Also, a veiled bait fish. As you, some of your listeners, and you might have seen on the news a wee while back, we have in the Central South Island lakes a sockeye salmon, which is, the numbers have really increased, and they've just spawned. They spawn quite early. They spawn in late March, April. And the young ones are just hatching, and obviously a lot of the trout feed on them. So, you know, small baby salmon can be quite a big component in the South Island.
Okay, well, yeah, yeah, that's not something...
Just something different, just, you know, I mean, I work on this all the time, and I'm in a lucky situation in that I talk to a lot of New Zealand anglers, you know, because they ask me about stuff and flies, bomb, bomb, bomb. So, yeah, never forget in the South Island, a little bit different from you guys, a lot of baby salmon, because remember, even in the braided rivers, which are open in sections, like the Waimakariri and the Haranui and the Waia, a lot of our king salmon spawned. They spawned late April, May. Their young ones will just be hatching too. And, you know, trout are pretty predatory. So especially while those young baby salmon are really young, they definitely get, you know, hit on by trout.
Predator,
and imitating them to a degree. I don't think you need direct imitation, but certainly, you know, can be an asset.
No,
something a lot of people don't think about. You know, you think about nymphs and streamers, but not that halfway in between.
Well, I hadn't thought of that. Yes, you're right. So they will take a live bait, so to speak. Yes, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Look, what I often do, it's quite interesting with, I've worked quite a bit over the last few years on sort of baby salmon cum baby trout imitations. And, you know, okay, there's the traditional thing of casting them across and swinging them on by floating line or sinking line, depending on their depth. But definitely what I've really enjoyed in the last 2 or 3 years is upstream fishing them dead drift. So basically putting a big indicator on and putting a weighted small baby salmon imitation on and casting up and fishing it just like a nymph. And the great thing for us, because our rivers are a little bigger and we don't have quite the populations that you do in the North Island, it really has a good allure for fish. Like, they can definitely see that and they definitely key in on it.
Okay, and they will move to it.
They'll move to it. That's the game. I mean, a lot of our fishing's needle in the haystack. And, you know, when we winter fish, I think we've talked about this before, we don't often go out for numbers, but one or two. So, you know, dead drifting streamers, quite an interesting concept that I'd like to initiate some of the listeners into.
Okay, yeah, I understand. Very good. Now, what about fly design? Are you're constantly working on this over winter?
To a degree. Look, I balance the two out. What I do is I do a lot of commercial tying. We have patterns that are already well known. I do a lot of traditional patterns, but I also do quite a few updates. So I've been doing quite a lot of Mrs. Simpson's, Hamill's Killers, Green Orbit. I was doing a Green Orbit. You're familiar with that fly?
On Facebook the other day, yes.
Yeah, I'm doing a Green Orbit, but I'm putting luminous eyes on them, you know, which just is really good for the Tarawea, Rotawiti, Rotorua up your way. They're really popular, as you know. So, yeah, I do that combined with a little bit of design as I go. For sure, I'm always interested in tweaking patterns and the like, and, you know, it's always evolution.
It is evolution. We learn every day on the river, don't we?
Oh, look, we really do, and it goes back to what we talked about before. I mean, I have a sense. I don't fully know, but I have a good sense of what catches fish.
Yes.
But I think it's really important, especially for people that are thinking about fly tying, is to you actually have to find out what doesn't catch fish. And that's a weird thing to say, but you know what I'm saying, because you know you said that. Mm-hmm. Some of those new materials and that, you just scare fish away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, they see, like, UV can be like that. You know, when I'm talking UV, that's very sparkly, fluorescent type of stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, as you know, it can bring rainbows from a million miles away, but there are certain times browns will just freak out at it.
That's right.
So no fixed rules. If only we could find our way into those fish trout brains,
If we could talk to them, we'd be bloody champions, wouldn't we?
Well, the glow bug does, doesn't it?
Well, yes, it does.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. That's a good point. You mentioned Hamel's Killer and Green Orbit and Red Setter. These patterns have been around since...
Look, I'm right into it. I'm really lucky. My dad started me fly fishing young, and I'm enamoured with all aspects of trout fly. Like, I'm very influenced by Europeans and Americans, but at my core, you know, I'm really more interested in, like, the work Keith Draper did, you know, Hope, Frank Hope. You know, Lord's Killer, you know, those traditional patterns that we've got in New Zealand, you know, they're just quite amazing. The Matuka, you know, which the overseas people call it, so the, you know, which was originally using the Matuku feathers. You know, we've got quite a lush heritage here.
That's right. And the point is, they still work.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's
absolutely. And, you know, I think that's the thing. In fly fishing, I think a lot of people find they seem to confine to rules, and I guess I'm really lucky like that. Free-range thinking can be quite good. So, you know, you can change colours. You can. I mean, I know the story of the Hamel's Killer, for example. That is an interesting story. You know, R.K. Bragg, Bob Bragg, who lived in Christchurch most of his life, he was an avid fly tyer. He came up with that pattern. It was originally tied with yellow... yellow dyed partridge, and that was all good. And then up in Rotorua, I think it was Bill Hamel, he changed it to a green coloured feather, and he became the Hamel's Killer.
Yes,
so, you know, it's a continual tweak, and there really are a lot of great materials for sure.
We're lucky. All right, thank you, Martin. Lovely to have a catch-up. Now, your contact details, please.
Sure, you can find me on Facebook, Martin Langlands, L-A-N-G-L-A-N-D-S, or my website, www.troutlands.com.
There you go, anglers fishing the South Island, Martin Langlands, troutlands.com, or on Facebook, Martin Langlands. Very good Facebook pages, photography, fly design, stuff like that. That's what he does.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, it's all about stream mouths, I think. It's all about sort of sink tip lines, sinking lines, a bit of even leave. Yeah, winter fishing down here, all about getting to the right depth.
Okay, there you go, anglers. Thank you, Martin. Talk to you
next time.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See ya.
Mr. Martin Langlands. Have a look at Facebook, Martin Langlands, or troutlands.com. All right, we're just coming up towards the end of the show. Yes, 64 seconds to go, so we have got time for the fly fishing tip of the week. The fly fishing tip of the week. Trout hear far better than people do, and water transmits sound more rapidly than air. So, care must be taken when approaching trout if you expect to find them hanging around by the time you arrive at the water's edge, ready to begin your fly casting. Approach carefully. Makes sense, doesn't it? Okay. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. Rod and Reel have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. The staff at Rod and Reel will help you choose that gear, and more importantly, they will show you how to use it. Grab a rod, they'll spool it up for you, take it out in the car park and cast the thing. You've got to play with the thing. Back to the fall. Play with it. Rod and Reel, Broadway, Newmarket, there you go. Okay, Hooked on Fly Fishing will be back on air next Friday at 6 p.m. Until then, good fishing and tight lines.